Lucky I didn't record that one. We just had the Carelings conference in Australia about a month or so ago, and it was suggested that we should say something about sort of what Carelings is and how it's sort of what we're doing, what our aims are. Whoops. And we've never really done a talk like that at any of our conferences. So just to summarise what I think you know, really, spread the knowledge of the Lord Jesus into all the world. And of course there's an agenda there, because the Lord says that when the gospel goes into all the world, then shall the end come. And you could argue that the end coming, the Lord returning, is to some extent dependent upon the gospel going into all the world. Not necessarily a response to the gospel, but the gospel going into all the world. The other passage I pondered in that context is the visions we have in Revelation of when the Lord is back and the kingdom is established. We're told that people from all nations, from every kindred, tongue, dialect, will be there praising the Lamb for having been redeemed. Now that would imply that actually there must be converts to Christ from every dialect, every language, every nation, every family under heaven. Now, that's got pretty big implications, because that means that there will have been converts amongst all those tribes in the Amazon jungle, all the little sub-dialects in China, etc. And for sure, in the context of in the frames of our community, I don't think that we have made converts in all those places. For sure we haven't. And indeed, I don't think any Christian organization has, really, from the first century up until now. I do wonder whether the Lord allowed or created or inspired the internet so that that would in fact be possible. And the other strange phenomenon that's been in the last 50 years is that you no longer need to go all around the Amazon jungle or all around Africa to try to find all these tribes and preach to them, because they're all sitting there, more or less, in cities like London and Manchester and New York and Sydney and whatever. The Lord has actually brought them, if you like, to us. This is a phenomenon of the last 50 years or so. Anyway, one of our aims is to get the message out there to as many people as possible. And to teach, baptize, and disciple people in Christ. And to try to network, care links, to network together throughout the body of Christ with as many as we can, to try to mobilize support and encouragement for those that are baptized, and of course to continue the work and to try to inspire each of those converts to realize that we are called so that we might in our turn be a light to this world, so that they then take the torch further than we can. And of course, we believe that the development of ecclesias is needed, really, ideally, for brothers and sisters to get encouragement from. Now, we've always been a bit funny about statistics because, you know, David numbering Israel, but it seems to me that there was no sin there in David numbering Israel. The sin was that the people didn't pay the temple tax. You remember they were supposed to, whenever there was a census, they were supposed to pay the half shekel. And if they didn't pay the half shekel, then there was a plague that was to come upon them. That's what the law said. And so when the census is taken and then there's the plague, David feels bad about the whole thing. I'm not sure that actually that was his sin. The sin was that Israel didn't pay their half shekel of atonement money. And that's why when he basically leaves it up to God, how he's going to be punished, God punishes the people with plague, not David. And then there's that passage later on that says that David did not sin before the Lord except in the matter of Uriah. It doesn't go on about his whole situation with the census. So I suppose that statistics are not wrong in themselves, but as we know, the idea of trusting in numbers is quite foreign to the life and the spirit of the faith. And so I think we really didn't keep any much numbers at all until maybe 2004, 2006. But adding it up, since we sort of got going, it gets sort of quite quite scary, really. About 4,000 people, 88 countries baptized since 1986. Now, I know there's all, you know, you're not naive. You know the questions that we're sort of placed under, that, well, you know, do all these people really understand everything? Are these all sort of bona fide, or were they just dunked kind of thing? And all right, if you want to put a red line through half of them. I mean, I'm not saying you should put a red line through even one of them, if you want to. Yeah, put a red line through three quarters of them. Whatever red line you want to draw, it's still a large number of people. And
is that care link stuff?
Yeah, that's not CBM.
No, that's not it. It's impossible
to tell that. I've got a hearing aid.
About a million visitors a year to the websites we got, which is quite a lot of them. Not that we're particularly great at the internet, Peter's the internet whiz kid, but just a lot of people hitting on our sites and looking. And, well, a huge number of books being sent out, and of course that results in something. I really don't know whether we should put this up or not, but anyway, I hope we do it in the right spirit, but not without some reservation. I put it up. Those 88 countries, that's a fair bit of the world, and what I think is significant from our aim, in terms of our aims of baptizing people who have not heard the gospel, or the true gospel as we understand it, we got in the 50 countries where beforehand there were not people baptized, at least according to our knowledge, nor according to the doctrine that we understand. Now, as I say, we didn't keep records really till about 2002-03 or something like that. There were certainly a lot of baptisms in the 90s. That's for sure. There was simply a lot. And then we sort of got into a bit of a trough with political arguments and stuff. But this last year, we had a huge number of baptisms. You can see the numbers, 2009, 188 baptisms compared to just 81 the previous year. Now, that's not because we're sort of lowering the bar. Not at all. That's simply how the Lord has worked, and it's hard to know exactly how and why he works in the way he does, but there's certainly been an explosion of interest, and not simply in the desperately poor areas, but a lot of people baptized in Western Europe as well. People are searching, people are interested. Australia, America. Charlie was here last year talking about their work in America, and that has continued and grown, and they've done even more baptisms this year than they did last year. So there is a spirit of inquiry. There definitely is. It's not so that people are not interested. So that's sort of where we're going, and we really just want to network as many people as we can into this work, to support those people, to do what we can, to reach out to people. And of course, when people come in, as it were, off the street, it is quite clear that they don't have the background of, let's say, Christian upbringing that a lot of us have been blessed with. And people come with all manner of issues. You know, alcoholism, homosexuality, you name it. All these issues are alive and well in general populace. You go out and actually get people in from sort of, you know, out there, they come in with all these problems, all these issues, which maybe in the context of the communities in this country are maybe quite hard to cope with, because we are dealing in our own community here with people generally raised in the truth, maybe their parents also, their grandparents, and the community has developed quite rightly with a fairly high sort of moral standard. And yet the world outside, as we know, has gone right down in terms of morality. And so pulling in all those people, I mean, people come with massive problems, massive issues. And it's not just a case of money. You can't throw money at those problems. It's a case of relating to those people and simply being friends with them. And the progress that has happened is amazing. And we tend to go from one thing to another, one contact to another to another. Jenna's here from Latvia, going to tell us tomorrow, God willing, a bit about how that happens, how just one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another baptism, and another person here, another person there, quite amazingly. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Haiti because a lot of people are asking, and this is obviously one of the biggest humanitarian disasters that there's been. I probably need the lights out. We got involved a while back with a very active guy there in Haiti, who was really struck with the idea that there's not a Trinity. And we had a lot of correspondence, emailing back and forth. And anyway, he left the church that he'd been going to and started meeting with a group of other people around at his place. And he works for the United Nations and was sort of, I wouldn't say well off, but reasonably well connected. And we were able to go out there about